Welcome to the Sunday worship. Welcome to the rocks. Call to worship. All of us has become like one who is unclean, and all our righteousness acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the works of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remind us our sins forever. Prelude. Let's all stand up and welcome each other. Okay, if you still have your cell phone turned on, please remember to turn it off. And let's read the prayer confession together. Almighty God, we have been regularly reproved, yet we have hardened our neck and gone on stubbornly in the way of our heart. Again and again you have spoken to us, saying, do not do these abominable things which I have. But we have refused to listen. We have paid no attention to you. Your word has come to us precept on precept, line by line, a little at a time, as we have been able to understand. So we are without excuse. We have seen our true nature in the mirror of your word, yet we have walked away. Father, forgive us. Send the Holy Spirit to us, that he may give us power to live as by your mercy you have called us to live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's bow our hand and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know what we want, but you, our Heavenly Father, knows what we need and what is best for us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the best that we can have, and we know all we have is coming from you. Please let your Holy Spirit guide us again and open our heart so we can listen to your words, your teaching. We can understand your teaching and give us courage so we can do whatever you ask us to do. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Now the praise team will lead us sing the song.
So I was reading Psalms today, and this verse popped out to me. It says, from Psalm chapter 16, verse 7 to verse 9, it says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me. So this reminds me that our God, he will never abandon us, will be always with us through all our times, through the good and through the bad. Let us all rise up together to praise our God.
Oh, Thank you.
If you turn to your bulletin, the scripture reading is different.
Yeah, sorry, that's
right. Yeah. So, the scripture we'll be reading today is in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1 and 13 to 25. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then. Do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Verses 13 to 25. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the like. I warned you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with his passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Now we give the sermon to Hansel. The topic today is you, what a day.
Before we begin, let us bow our heads down in prayer. God of light, be our light. Fill us with your Spirit so that we may hear and understand and do what is your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Here we are again, looking at the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. We can think about how terrible these Galatians were in being Christians, and how could they get down to this point? But we have to see this in another light. They must have done something right, didn't they? If they didn't,
wouldn't everyone agree with the people who led them astray? Wouldn't they all just become people who follow the rules and laws blindly? Isn't it the same thing for us in our lives as well? Isn't there sometimes when when someone did something or they said something and you felt or thought, oh, there's like something wrong, right? You think in your head, in your heart, you said, wait a minute, hold on there, there's something right, there's something wrong there, but you just can't get your finger on it. You know there is something wrong, but can't pinpoint that at the very moment. We can think that this is the case for the Galatians who wrote to Paul, who let Paul knew about their problems. They must have been the ones who have been attacked by others. You know, people attacking them from their left, attacking them from their right, or forward, or behind them, or in front of them. And I could imagine of all the things that were thrown around in the church, such as, oh, this guy's been unspiritual, this woman's condemned, unforgivable, unforgiven, and many more. Mistrust, anger, accusations, unchecked ambitions must have occurred during the Galatian church. Oh, what a life to live when you have to constantly look over your shoulders, look at your back, hoping that no one would betray you, right? Or always being suspicious at your friends, that if at any moment your friends would denounce you, would say something bad about you. It is as if there was no difference between what was going on within the church compared to what was going on within Roman society. So this reminds me of this story. In ancient times, a king had placed a boulder in the middle of a road. Then he hid himself and watched to see if anybody would remove it, remove this huge rock. So some of the king's wealthiest merchants and courtiers would came by, but they would just simply just go around it. And then many of them would loudly blame the king for not keeping the roads clear. But no one did anything about it. Then a peasant came along, you know, holding his big load of vegetables. And when he got to the rock, he just dropped his vegetables, dropped the cart, and went on to go try to move the stone out of the road. And after much pushing and straining, he finally succeeded and moved the rock away from the road to the side. Then after the peasant picked up his load or his cart, he found out, he realized that there was a purse lying in the road where the boulder had been. The purse contained many gold coins and a note from the king indicating that the gold was for the person who removed the boulder from the roadway. The peasant learned that day that every obstacle presents an opportunity to improve his condition. And so we can apply that to the Galatian church, that the obstacles within the Galatian church that they wrote to Paul gave them, each of them, the opportunity to live by the Spirit. So I see Paul's letter as an encouragement to the people who were confused and to the people who felt there was something wrong. It is like a phone conversation. We only know half of the conversation, which is what Paul has written. However, from Paul's answers, we basically know what is going on in the church. Then there's two kinds of people on the other end of the conversation. The people whom Paul is correcting, and the other one are the people who are seeking Paul's guidance. That's God's and Paul's guidance. And then we could imagine the questions the people who are asking for Paul would ask, such as, I have been told that if I touched pork, then I'm made unclean, then I can't go to church. I felt I'm not welcome at church if that happens. I felt that there is something wrong with this. What should I do? Do God really think that? Another question I think of that they could ask Paul would be, a lot of people are throwing around accusations, saying hurtful things, trying to force me to do it their way, deliberately ignoring me, putting me down, unless I agree with the exact same thing with them. I feel like doing the same thing back at them. Let them have the taste of their own medicine. With issues such as these, Paul has repeatedly talked about living by the Holy Spirit, living by God's guidance. And of course, Paul kept talking about it is because of God's grace and the blood of Jesus Christ that we are all saved. Nothing else. However, Paul also talked about what is the opposite when we don't live by the Spirit, which is to gratify the desires of the flesh. But then, what is the flesh then? Does the flesh only have to do with our body desires, or has anything to do with material needs, such as we want more and more food, or want more and more money, or we want to satisfy some of our urges? It is more than that. It also involves our spiritual life. Living in the flesh is anything that is unspiritual life. The theologian Martin Luther said, he said, "When I was a monk, I thought I was lost forever. Whenever I felt an evil emotion, carnal lust, wrath, hatred, or envy." So we can see that the flesh as a whole is a range of factors that includes emotions, needs, and wants. Later on, Martin Luther realized this, and he said, "A saint is not one who is made of wood and never feels any lust or desires of the flesh. A true saint confesses his righteousness and prays that his sins may be forgiven. The whole church prays for the forgiveness of sins and confesses that it believes in the forgiveness of sins." So the works of the flesh both includes material desires, which is basically sexual deviation, drunkenness, or spiritual ones, such as idolatry or witchcraft, sorcery. The fruit of the Spirit enriches not only our spiritual lives, but our relationships with the stuff of the world. So we can ask then, how does the Spirit enrich our relationship with the physical stuff in the world? For example, don't you have something in your life that you value very much, or something that you have a special connection to? For example, I have a friend, a very good friend, who gave me this pen. This friend, he's a deacon of the church, who's someone who goes after God with his heart, soul, spirit, and body and strength. He gave me this pen before I came here. But this pen that you could see on my other suit that I have pinned before is very dear and special to him. To him, this pen talks about his relationship with God, how God has been involved in his life, changing it altogether, changing it for the better. He was a military career person. He's supposed to be a general, but because when he got to know God, he turned away. As a result, he was closer to his family than ever before, and he was also closer in his relationships with other people. But this pen is also the acknowledgement of his service to God and of his spiritual growth to God. And so it also reminds us that, like the Galatians, we all need encouragements. So we can see that the physical and the spiritual, they are not separate. They are both related and intertwined in both of flesh and spirit. And what's more about the flesh? The flesh wants the wrong things, or wants the good things in the wrong way. Example, we all want intimacy. We want someone to be close to. But of course, the flesh will want you pursue sex, do whatever you want, free sex, whatever. Or we wanted to have the good thing. We want the contact with God, the contact with the divine. But the flesh makes us want to go pursue idols, something that we worship, which is not God. Or another thing, the good thing that we want is we want joy, we want happiness. But the flesh might want us to seek indulgences, want us to seek to have to seek more money, using things, objects in replacement, to think that we wanted when we have more of that, such as money or have a better car, that sort of thing, then we would have happiness. The flesh is unchecked, these selfish desires, which includes physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual desires. The flesh destroys fellowship, unity, and holiness. Rather, the flesh refers to the whole self under the power of sin, with all its self-seeking desires and self-serving ways. And of course, this reminds me of another story called The Secret to Happiness. This story goes like this. A holy man was having a conversation with God, with the Lord one day, and said, "Lord, I would like to know what heaven and hell are like." And so, the Lord led the man to two doors. He opened one of the doors, and the holy man looked in. In the middle of the room, there was a large round table. And in the middle of the table was a large pot of stew, very delicious, and smelled delicious, that made the holy man's mouth water. But around it, there were sitting a lot of people. But they were all thin. They were all sick and sickly. So almost they have no energy. They appeared to be famished. They were holding spoons, which has very long handles, which is very way longer than their hands. So it's possible for them to get the stew, to get the soup in the middle of the table. But they can't reach into their mouth because, you know, it's too long. And then, of course, the holy man just shuddered at the sight of their misery and their suffering. Ugh. And the Lord said, "You have seen hell." And, of course, God took him to the next room and opened the door. It was exactly the same setup. There was a big round table and the same delicious soup was in the middle of the table. And all of the people, they were equipped with the same long spoon with the long handle. But here, the people were all well nourished, and they were plump, and they were laughing, and they were talking, enjoying their time with each other. And the holy man said, "I don't understand." "It is simple," said the Lord. "It requires but one skill. You see, they have learned the secret to happiness. Feed one another." Feeding one another is to live by the Spirit, to help each other grow in the Spirit. God guides us in many ways, whether through circumstances, whether through what happened, whether through other Christians, through the Bible, through prayer, and through spiritual intuition. Living in the flesh is contradictory to God's Spirit, because God brings fellowship and peace, and the flesh does not. Wouldn't we miss God's guidance and miss the opportunities presented by us to God if we have our disordered desires enslave us to our passions? That is, to destroy the community and then preventing us to see God in others. When we just focus on our own selfishness, we're basically doing that. And as Paul said, we are basically devouring ourselves, destroying ourselves. The theologian Carol Holtz Martin also has her own testimony to this. She said while she was studying abroad, she was lonely. She was trying to fill the void within her with many things, such as escape literature. So she would read just to escape reality. She would also compile a long list of complaints about this and that, and she would also have fake friendships. Of course, we can see that these are not in Paul's list of evils, but those are what this flesh does. Self-indulging. These were turned around when she experienced a loving, laughing, singing church's connection to Jesus. That church's love, changed and affected her life. Her life grew in the Spirit. And is it easy for everyone involved? No. It is a, whew, what a day. Because for everyone, because every day in life, we struggle between this, between the Spirit and the flesh. So we realize that living in the Spirit is about our attitude to God, our attitude to others, and our attitude to ourselves. The theologian John Stott says, "True freedom is freedom from my little self in order to live responsibly in love for God and others. Instead of being led around and forced to do things by our own desires, we are no longer bound or restricted, and we can decide and choose not to act these things. And as a Christian, the call carries obligations to others as well as to God, to invest ourselves in a community of faith. Love is an all-encompassing way of life, constantly seeking to serve the neighbor, to serve others." And let me end with this story called An Unspoken Bible. His name is Bill. He has wild hair, wears a t-shirt with holes in it, jeans and no shoes. This was literally his wardrobe for his entire 4 years of college. He is brilliant, kind of eccentric, and very, very bright. He became a Christian recently while attending college. Across the street from the campus is a well-dressed, proper church. One day, Bill decides to go there. He walks in with no shoes, with just jeans and his t-shirt, and wild, messy hair. The service had already started, and so Bill starts down the aisle looking for a seat. The church is completely packed, and he can't find a seat. So by now, people are really looking a little bit uncomfortable by the way he dressed and the way he looks, but no one says anything. Bill gets closer and closer and closer to the pulpit, to the front. And then when he realizes there's no seats, he just sits down right on the carpet. Although it is perfectly acceptable at the college worship, but then this never happened in that church before. By now, the people are really uptight, and the tension in the air is thick. About this time, the minister realized from all the way back at the church, and the elder is slowly walking his way towards Bill. Now the elder is in his 80s. He wears a three-piece suit, and he says and has very silver gray hair. So this elder is a very godly man, very elegant, very dignified, and very courtly. So, and he walks with a cane, and he starts walking towards his boy. And everybody is saying to themselves that you just can't blame the old man for what he is about to do to the boy. How can you expect a man of his age and his background to understand some college kid on the floor? It takes a long time for the man to reach the boy. The church is utterly silent, except for the clicking of the man's cane. All eyes are focused on him. You can't even hear anyone breathing. The minister can't even preach the sermon until the elder does what he has to do. And now they see this elderly man drop his cane on the floor, and with great difficulty, he lowers himself and sits down next to Baal and worships with him, so he won't be alone. Everyone chokes up with emotion. And when the minister gains control, he says, "What I'm about to preach, you will never remember. What you have just seen, you will never forget. Be careful how you live. You may be the only Bible some people will ever read." So it's not easy being loving towards others when other people are doing the opposite. But we know by the end of the day, we could say, "Phew, what a day." Taking comfort knowing that what we did was right. What we did helped others and helped ourselves grow. Let us all pray together. Our gracious God, we thank you today for the land in which we live. We thank you for the freedoms which are ours, for the multitude of opportunities presented to each of us. Save us from the destructive behaviors that St. Paul outlined: enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, every and all that would undo us. Lead us instead to strive for the fruits of the Spirit. Help us to develop loving behaviors which demonstrate care and compassion for others. Help us, in our hurried up world, to develop patience and to learn that all does not have to be complete in our hurried up time. Help us to demonstrate kindness to all, and especially to those with whom we find it difficult to be kind. O God, give us tolerance and understanding for all peoples. May we hold dear for all people the freedoms we cherish. Commit us to building the place where all are welcome, where all will be cared for. In your name we pray. Amen.
Okay, we have a lot of announcements today, so I'm not going to read them all. I'll just pick a few that I think is more important. Next Sunday, we'll have a very special group of children choir visiting us from Taiwan. They are composed of native Taiwanese children. They're going to sing a song in the morning. It's in Taiwanese worship, though, so if you're interested, you come early. Otherwise, Saturday, they have a concert at Jubilee, Church of Jubilee. You can go there. You have to buy the ticket, $20 per person. Next Sunday. Oh, okay. Actually, July 13th, the next Saturday, Emmanuel House. That's the church that was here before. They have a special fund for Emmanuel House project to house the refugees that's first come to country, and they just recently purchased the house, and they're going to have a special service here July 13th. That's from 2 to 4 p.m. It will be in English, so you're all welcome to come to join us. And the next Sunday, July 14th, we'll have a joint deacons and session meeting. So all elders and deacons, please attend, and if anyone have any suggestion, please submit them to any of the session members. And where am I? There will be the word is too small for me to read. Let me see. Oh, yeah, the same day, July 14th, we have a special joint worship for the
we're going to prepare for the VBS and have a special worship for all the co-workers or VBS co-workers. And so please prepare your heart. And last, number 10, we are latest newsletter has been published. So please, when you, I don't know who's, oh, yeah, can talk to, get one. If you don't have one, get one from Elder Glory. And the prayer requests also a lot. I'll just read the first one. Prayer requests for the friends and families who are still not believers. May he use us as a vessel to bring more people to him. Please read the rest of the prayer request yourself. And now it's the offering time. Song and Pastor Hansel will do the benediction for us afterward.
Let us all remain standing. Let us all bow our heads down together for prayer. Dear God, as we go out on this world, may you, the risen Lord, bless us and keep us. May you, the Lord, make your face shine upon us and be gracious on us. And may you, the Lord, lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.